So we are just days away from celebrating my favorite holiday, Thanksgiving. I'm glad that we have a holiday that's not overly commercialized. Like, a lot of people go straight from Halloween to Christmas. And Thanksgiving's just in there, but the big deal is Black Friday. It gets way more attention than Thanksgiving Day, but that's okay with me. I like Thanksgiving. It's our only national religious holiday. Now, I know some people are not so fond of Thanksgiving. For them, it implies colonialism, imperialism, those kinds of things. But if we remember, Thanksgiving was about receiving safe passage on an arduous journey from Europe to the States, or from wherever to here. It was also about being able to worship God freely without persecution. And so I think those are the important things and the things that we still need to promote: religious freedom and welcoming the stranger and the alien. I like Thanksgiving because it's something that we remember to thank God for. Before Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving Proclamation, George Washington instituted it as a day of thanksgiving and prayer in 1789. And those origins, thanksgiving and prayer, and Washington even said repentance. Let us repent of our sins, national and personal, and let us give thanks to God. And those origins have been minimized, but we are blessed to be able to freely celebrate religious holidays. It's a time for us to remember with thanks for God's presence and activity in our lives. As I said with the children, in the law, God instituted three Thanksgiving feasts, two in the spring and one in the fall. Sukkot, the festival of booths, are in the fall. And Shavuot is the first fruits. Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. Our Deuteronomy passage this morning is God's prescription for the festival of first fruits. That harvest of celebration, the very first things that were ripe in the spring. These are given straight to God. And God prescribed this festival even before the Hebrews had entered the promised land. He says, "It shall be for you when you enter that land, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and live in it, that you shall then take some of that produce, the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring in from your land that the Lord God gives you, and then put it in the basket." So even before they entered, God says, "This is what I want you to do. Don't forget. And thereafter, every year, continue to do this." It's appropriate that even though that happens in the spring, that we study it now as we prepare to make our stewardship commitments for the coming year. Because we pledge in anticipation of what we will receive. Committing to God in advance is an acknowledgement of God's right to what we have. God does have the first right to all we are and all we have. Now, this festival has a format that you heard. Thanksgiving is to be accompanied by obedience. And when we are truly thankful, then we want to obey God. Gratitude for what God has done inspires us and energizes us to do God's will. As Christopher Wright points out in his commentary on Acts, the blessings from God result in obedience, which in turn results in more blessings from God. Now, we don't do so we'll get, but that is a benefit of doing. We do and we get. That's God's grace, God's blessing. God's grace is the source of our blessings poured out for us long before we realize that God's at work. Some of you may know the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." And the last verse of that hymn says, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." How can we complain about what God requires of us when we really take time to think about all that God has done for us? which leads us to note that this festival of first fruits was also a time of remembrance. First fruits falls right on the heels of Passover. Passover was a time to remember the Exodus, particularly those 10 plagues, and Israel being particularly spared from the plague of death, that death angel passing over the houses, and then plundering the Egyptians on their way out. First fruits is celebrated as a day the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. Now, there were some important events that occurred on the day of first fruits that are remembered and celebrated. It is thought that that is the day that God made the covenant with Noah, never to flood the earth again. It is remembered as the day that the Ten Commandments were given. It is when Ruth met Boaz. King David supposedly was born and died on the festival of first fruits. And it, as it is said, it is remembering the promised land itself was a gift. What gifts has God given you? I think part of today's Middle East problems are due to the fact that God's good gifts have been confused with a right. We don't really have many rights. John 1:12 gives us one of the rights that we do have. But to as many as received him, that is Jesus, God gave the power, the right, to be called the children of God to those who believe on his name. Revelation 22:14 names another right, that those whose robes have been washed white in the blood of the Lamb have the right to eat of the tree of life. This is a symbol of eternal life, and it's the same right that John 1:12 talks about. Even the right to be God's child and to have eternal life is attached to the gift, and the gift is Jesus Christ himself. The most important thing that we remember that happened on the festival of first fruits, though, is that is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, isn't that something for which we ought to be most thankful for? Now, there are human rights mentioned in Scripture. God speaks often of the rights of the poor and the needy and the widow and the orphan. So it is good and right for us to champion those types of rights, and we shouldn't take them for granted because they are instituted by God. The recounting of sacred history in Deuteronomy 26:5 through 10 takes the form of a creed. We say creeds to remember our sacred history, to remind ourselves of what God has done and what God is still doing for us. We confess our faith before others. As Patrick Miller explains, creeds function as teaching and worship tools. They're helpful ways to pass along the faith to the next generation. They give us reasons why we should live in obedience to God and express our gratitude for God's good gifts. So every year they would say this. I remember my father was a wandering Aramean. He went down to Egypt. He was few in number. They lived there. They grew and they multiplied. The Egyptians oppressed us. They made us do hard labor, and then we were brought out. And they said this every year. Years and decades and centuries after, long after it had happened, because they needed to remember. And as more in Israel's history happened, they added to their Thanksgiving stories. We see examples of this in Thanksgiving Psalms. Some tell the story of Abraham. Some tell the story of the Babylonian captivity. Some tell the story of the crossing of the Jordan. Last week, our confirmation class looked at one of these psalms. We studied Psalm 105, and it summarized from the call of Abraham to the entering of the promised land, times of God's blessing and deliverance are told and sung and shared in community. I think that God had people recount stories of salvation multiple times a year so that they would not take God for granted. It is in remembering what God has done for us that we become grateful, because sometimes it's really difficult for us to see what God is doing right now, especially if we are in the middle of difficult circumstances. But then, as we look back, we can see, oh yeah, that's what God was doing during that time. That's how God was in that. Even now, we can look back, if we're in a hard stage of life, we can look back and remember the things that God has done for us and know that God's going to get us through this too. And God will get us through the next thing. One day we'll look back on even the difficult times and see that's how God provided salvation or protection or deliverance or provision or mercy or grace or whatever it is that God is already doing. And the more we realize the things that God has done for us, even the things that God did way before we were ever born, the more we realize just how much we have to be truly thankful for. Next Sunday, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. And the prayer that is prayed before communion is called the Prayer of Great Thanksgiving. And though the words vary, there are certain elements that ought to be included in this prayer, including a retelling of our sacred history, usually something about creation, and especially recalling the incarnation, life, death, and resurrection and return of Jesus Christ. So next week, listen for those elements. Listen for the retelling of sacred history. Do you thank God for your own personal salvation? Do you thank God for our shared corporate sacred history? Do you thank God for things that God did before you were ever born? Do you celebrate what God has done to bring you to the place where you are right now? Do you thank God for saints and leaders of old, as well as the ones that God has put in your life over the years? Our Isaiah passage is another prescription by God for thanksgiving. And if we look back at Isaiah 11, we understand what this Thanksgiving Day is all about. In Isaiah 11, we see that the new day of thanksgiving is to be held on the day that the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious, and the Lord will bring his scattered remnant together. Now we know that the root of Jesse is Jesus. So this new day of thanksgiving will be when Jesus returns to reign on earth. We are to remember and recall God's mercy toward us when we deserved God's wrath. We are to praise God for our salvation. Verse 2 emphasizes the personal nature of what God does in our individual lives by using God's personal name two times. For Yahweh is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. The day of thanksgiving involves singing and shouting praises. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you have a personal testimony. You might not think yours is very dramatic, but that's not important. It's your story. And I guarantee that God's grace has had a dramatic effect on your life if you have received the Lord. Even if you've walked with God your whole life, you would not be the person you are now if it weren't for God's grace. So celebrate joyfully what the Lord has done for you. Ray Ortland suggests that the wells of salvation mentioned in Isaiah 12:3 suggest such things as love and delight and healing, every grace and favor that the Lord gives. So from what wells of salvation have you drunk? Jesus Christ himself is the living water. He is our well of salvation. We are never to keep good news to ourselves. It's meant to be publicized. We're to share our stories. Our Book of Order reminds us that our faith is personal but not private, which is also what we see in Isaiah 12, verses 4 through 6. We've been given grace overflowing. Sing it and tell it broadly. The Puritan John Trapp said, "It is no less a sin not to rejoice than not to repent." It is no less a sin not to rejoice than not to repent. Praising God is important. It's an important part of worship. It's very easy for me to express gratitude and praise through music and song, but might not be an easy way for you to do it. It might take a little more effort, but there are other ways that we are commanded to praise God too, to show our rejoicing, shouting, proclaiming, crying, declaring, and praying are also ways to rejoice and to witness to Christ that are commanded in Scripture. Now, when you read Isaiah 12 in English, you can't see it, but in Hebrew, the pronoun you changes from singular in verse 1 to plural in verse 3. So both as individuals and as a corporate body, we are to share our stories. We share our personal story, our corporate story, and we share it with each other. Our individual praises result in other people praising God. That's why we share these "Where have you seen God at work?" because when one rejoices, we all rejoice. When I can't see God at work, you can, and that makes me be able to see God too. And next time, I might be the one to see God at work. Our praise, individual and corporate, is for a cause. And that cause, according to Isaiah 12, is so that the nations will know and the kingdom of God will grow. In verse 6, it read, "O inhabitant of Zion," that is specifically feminine. You can't see it in English, but in Hebrew it's there. So this is talking about you women. "You women, praise the Lord. Tell." Everybody is included. Everybody is included in this scripture. And we don't have to wait until Jesus comes back to start this second Thanksgiving, because Jesus has come, and we can thank God for what God has done in our lives. So do you recognize God's hand in your recent history, not just when you first came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but how has God affected your life recently? Can you see an act of God's mercy or deliverance? At the beginning of the month, we remembered folks who have died and who are willing to die or suffer persecution so that their neighbors, their relatives, will have the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel must be truly powerful if so many people try to repress it and wipe it out. The gospel must be truly transformational if people are willing to die for Jesus. Do you honestly believe in the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ? Thanksgiving is joyful and festive. The festival of first fruits was joyful and festive. It wasn't supposed to be, "Oh no, winter's over, I don't have much food left and I have to give this to God. Oh no, it's stewardship season again, I have to give to God." It was, I remember God's goodness to me this past year, this past week, throughout my life, and even well before I was born, that God called a man named Abraham and made us a people. That God gave me the place where I live right now. I remember that God used Moses to bring us into the land. We too can say, I remember God's goodness to me. I remember that God sent Jesus into the world for me. I remember that I belong to God, and I am thankful. I remember that Jesus is returning, And I remember that even now, Jesus is on the throne. So rejoice and be thankful and share your stories. Stories past and stories recent. Stories individual and stories corporate. Rejoice and be thankful. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your good and wonderful gifts to us. We thank you for our sacred history. We thank you for faithful people of the past, and we thank you, God, that you're at work in our lives now. We are most thankful for the freedom to worship you. We are thankful for our brothers and sisters who witness so faithfully to you in difficult lands and in difficult times. We are thankful that the gospel is powerful. We are thankful that you are a living and active God who rescues souls from death and gives life abundant. We are thankful for our salvation. And we are thankful that even when things are hard, you are in control and you are not idle, but you are always at work. We are thankful that you are returning. Hear our thanks and our praise through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.